Hey, poker fans, it's Adam here reminding you to visit our website at www.bigpoker.ca. Our weekly newsletter contains tips, great sign-up bonuses, and upcoming guests for the show. Sign up at bigpoker.ca today.
You're on the Team 1040 Sports Radio, and this is Rounders, the poker show. Now, here are the poker guys, Mike and Adam.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another week of Rounders, the Poker Show. Mike and Adam coming to you live from the Team 1040 Sports Radio Studios in the heart of Vancouver.
Rainy Vancouver.
That's right. Last time we're going to say that we're sitting in this particular studio. We're moving our location to next week to a new studio, and the show will continue to come at you in an online podcast format, which we'll talk more about before the end of the show. We've kind of been thrown on our ear this week for a number of reasons. We were originally going to actually have Hivad Khan, the final tablist of the main event, but a couple
almost
of,
final tablist today.
Exactly.
As well,
two things happened. As of 10 minutes ago, we had 8 million chips at the Sunday Million at Poker Stars. And secondly, I don't think we would have had time for him with what is really a huge breaking story. Possibly will end up being the story of the year in the online poker world. And that is the fact that, we have an online cheating scandal that we talked about 3 weeks ago that has really come to a head here. The online poker world might be an understatement, Adam, to say that they've had a bad week. We talked about rumors of a cheating scandal at online poker site Absolute Poker 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Well, the numbers just didn't end up. We looked at some of the things that was happening. Some of the top players that were playing at Absolute in the highest limits were saying, hang on a second, something here doesn't make sense. This person is in God mode. He knows everything, what to do in every situation. So we talked about it.
The rumors and accusation were that someone through access to a super account was able to see the whole cards of all the other players at their table, allowing them to, obviously, the ability to win huge, huge amounts of money. The rumors then went on that he was chip dumping from those accounts into his friends' accounts and, you know, basically stealing the money. And, the site Absolute Poker spent basically up to a month not really replying to the accusations. They were investigating during that period of time, and after the poker community just would not let it die and said, listen, we want an answer to this, last week they came out and said, we've done a thorough investigation and we have found no wrongdoing, and in fact this cannot happen on our site. And then everything kind of blew up this week, and not only do we have an online cheating scandal, we have an internal online cheating scandal that it has now been not only proven, but it's been admitted to by Absolute Poker themselves that there's an insider cheating scandal, and it comes right from the very top of Absolute Poker that yes, in fact, somebody did have access to a super user account and was using it to make upwards of $1 million and got caught by being very reckless and very careless and quite obvious about some of the things that they were doing.
Right, actually. And Absolute spent a lot of time denying this all the way along the way and talking about that there's absolutely no way that this could be true in spite of the fact that we had all of this data. What actually happened was in a big buy-in tournament, a $1,000 buy-in tournament, the player Crazy Marco, who finished second in
the
event.
And he's a well-known online player. He's actually a roommate of the Waco kid, Jared Hamby, who's one of the top live tournament poker players of 2007. This is a well-known and respected player.
So what happened was, this is somewhere in the same time zone where these top players were sort of questioning what was going on. He asked for a hand history. He felt in this tournament that he came second to this super user account, so-called, and he didn't feel something was right. And he emailed support at Absolute and asked for the hand history. Now, the support person at Absolute sent him a large file, an Excel file full of information that he really didn't understand what he
jumbled
had.
Jumbled data. This was over a month ago, and what he did was basically kind of didn't analyze it, didn't put it in the back burner because he's not a computer expert, and so he just kind of let it die. But what he had been sent wasn't just his hand history, it was turned out after some shrewd investigative work was the hand histories of every player in the tournament, including all of their hole cards.
And not just all their hole cards, their IP addresses, their email addresses, observer IP addresses.
By observer, what Adam means is people that were just watching the tournament taking place, their email addresses are logged in this file that was sent to Crazy Marco as well.
So, and so what these guys did, who broke it down and figured out exactly what was happening, was they fed these hands into a hand replayer. And what that is basically they upload information into the hand replayer, and it's a visual sort of hand history of the tournament. So you can watch exactly how each hand and everybody's cards played out, and it becomes obvious very quickly. And if you want to go, if you want to have a look at it, go to YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Yeah. It's on Poker X Factor. It's on a number of sites that actually show undeniably this guy making decisions and playing hands that could only be played if he knew what the other player had.
It becomes real obvious real quick.
He was bluffing when the player didn't hit their hand. He was folding when they did. He was re-raising when he knew somebody was bluffing at him.
And remember, he's playing now. This is a weekly $1,000 buy-in event.
It's top players.
It's not a small tournament. This is a collection of the best multi-table tournament players online. So he basically manhandled these guys in ways that you just look at and shake your head.
And curiously enough, he actually entered two accounts into the tournament. One, just in case perhaps there was a hand where he got it all in with aces and some guy got lucky on him, that he'd still have another account to play with. And that hand, that particular account ended up
never played
just
a hand,
folding off and getting blinded out throughout the entire tournament. So this is sort of where the story starts, and it gets quite complicated from here, but tremendously interesting at the same time. So what we want to do is I want to bring in Serge Ravitch, and he's been following this story extremely closely. And
he
works with tourags.com. He's a professional online poker player. He's a lawyer as well. And really, if we could give him a new job title, it would be Internet Detective. Ace Ventura was the pet detective. Serge Ravitch is the Internet Poker Detective. And he joins us now from his home in New York. Serge, welcome to Rounders. How are you?
Hi, happy to be here.
I don't know if your head is spinning or if you've got your head around all of this, but obviously you've got so much information and putting the pieces together. If somebody presented this to you as a novel or a script for a spy film about online poker, would you ever have even believed something like this could have happened?
Well, actually, I might be a little jumping the gun here, but I've actually been approached to make a screenplay out of this.
Are you kidding me? That's unbelievable.
It makes total sense.
Half joking, but it does make total sense. Try and walk our audience through this as best you can. Obviously, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the fallout and what it means to the online poker world and what it means for Absolute Poker. And obviously, we'll get a little bit into that. But, we've basically set the stage about the fact that that this account by the name of Pot Ripper was basically proven through this file of huge data that he had access to the hole cards. Take us to how, when it was sent, this file was sent to the online poker player Crazy Marco, how they ended up getting all of this extra information. Was it an insider at Absolute Poker that was sort of blowing the whistle on Absolute, or was this file sent to Crazy Marco by accident?
This file actually comes in relatively late in the story. I guess we should get to that a little later. But to answer your specific question, believe it or not, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was a complete accident. We have talked to the person that sent it out, and that person has admitted to us that they basically sent out the wrong spreadsheet. And the proof, the final piece of the puzzle, this proof that we got, and linking it to the executive's house and everything that came after that is, frankly, a complete accident.
And now the thing that made the Crazy Marco even go back and take a look at this big file, just to backtrack a little bit, was the fact that other people were also accusing the same type of thing of happening in cash games. And one of the accounts that came up in these accusations was this account Pot Ripper, which is what spurred him on to take a closer look at the file that was sent to him.
Okay, that's... It's a little bit off. Let me, I guess, start this from the beginning.
All right.
What happened in the beginning was that a number of high-stakes limit pros got together and jointly began looking at a couple of accounts. Their names were Gray Cat and Double Drag, although Double Drag also played No Limit quite extensively. At any rate, they got together, the thread in 2+2's limit forum reached about 100 replies, and at that point, the moderator of the limit forum removed it from public view, basically as a way of figuring out what to do about this. I happened to come along, I'm a moderator of one of the sub-forums of 2+2, took a look at this thread and instantly realized this was the real deal. I immediately decided to forget about deciding what to do. This needed to be publicized now, since quite possibly there were hundreds of people putting their money in, drawing dead at Absolute, so to speak. I publicized the info, and exactly 5 minutes after I did that, a friend of mine, an instant messenger, showed me the keynote pot ripper hand where he was calling it all in with 10 high. And winning the tournament.
And that was fairly important. I don't think we've talked about it here. Basically, in the last hand of the tournament, heads up, pot ripper bet, got raised all in, and he called with 10 high when he knew the other person had a 9 high flush draw. Is that right?
Yes, correct. He had 10 high, no draw on a king-king something-something board, and had the best hand.
So a spot
and
he would never, ever call with 10.
About a third of the total chips in play.
Right.
No, I would never call with 10 high there.
It's safe to say, I think anybody playing in a $1,000 buy-in event at that level would, unless it was a misclick, that would be the only possible explanation for a situation like that.
I would say the majority of free roll players are far, far better than that.
No question. Okay, so take us from that step, because that obviously, now, at this point, people would almost say there's no way somebody who was shrewd enough to be able to cheat like this would possibly be dumb enough to be that unsubtle about it and that obvious about it, especially playing at those kind of buy-ins and those kind of limits. Is the fact that it seemed so obvious, is that one of the things that people might have at that point in time said, this is just another conspiracy theory?
Right. There were a lot of people doubting. We very quickly identified four accounts, later adding a fifth. Actually, as it turns out, we missed two. It's just now coming out from Absolute that the total number seems to be seven. May or may not be higher, or at least that's what they're saying right now. But at this point, the tally starts at seven, of which we quickly identified five. The total came out to be three cash game accounts, two cash game accounts, and three tournament accounts. The other three I haven't named yet were Pot Ripper, Steamroller, and Payup, who won the tournament the week before Pot Ripper.
Oh, wow.
All of these accounts basically played identically terribly, and in a completely obvious manner that just made it clear they were, in fact, team hole cards. And after this came out originally, I very quickly started getting hand histories together, and it became just immediately apparent that this was going on. It was all over the place. Looking at this guy's cards, he would play 95% of his hands, but he'd open fold whenever somebody had big pairs. One of the few ways that this was immediately obvious, and even without seeing everybody's cards, was that when somebody has a big pair, it tends to get shown down. And the only time this guy was folding preflop ever was when somebody somewhere had a big pair. Immediately after showing this to almost any high-stakes player, they instantly said, okay, this is real. This came out originally around, I think, the 13th, 14th of September, something like that. By the 16th or 17th, 90% of the high-stakes community absolutely knew that Absolute was rigged. There was absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind at this point.
And then the hand history from Jared Hamby's roommate comes out.
Crazy Marco.
Right. For about 3 weeks, Absolute completely stonewalled us, released a statement saying that nothing was wrong, that this guy... the morning following this story's original original breaking, Double Drag was sitting at those same tables, and he was just doing blatant chip dumping. Those accounts were doing chip dumping to another account before, presumably a cash money out, but this time they were basically trying to mask their play. And the crowning moment came when one of those accounts check called an all-in with four high on the river, beating absolutely nothing.
So, and for our listeners, chip dumping is now when this player who can see everybody's cards, he's cheating and he's stealing everybody's money. He needs a way to get the money off the site, and how he does this is he gets friends with accounts and he goes and plays them heads up and dumps off chips to them.
Right. Except in this case, this was the first case in poker history of somebody chip dumping to unrelated people. He needed to cover up his cheating, so he essentially just kind of took $20,000 and distributed it around the table.
Unbelievable.
It was the most blatant case of anything that I've ever seen in my life.
Right, and the reason that, the other thing is, though, there was also chip dumping going on in that the accounts that they were playing with, Pot Ripper and Grey Cat and these other accounts, were not registered accounts in their name, so they could not cash out to their own bank accounts or get a check sent to their own personal address. They had to get the money out of those accounts somehow.
Actually, not quite correct, partly correct. Those accounts actually turned out registered to AJ Green, which I guess we're going to get to in a second. But part of the reason they could not cash out was because that those cash outs would go through support. And not everybody at Absolute was in on this. The majority of the company was completely innocent. And something that would make it immediately obvious is the CEO's account suddenly starting to win big money.
Right.
They needed a chip dump just to make sure that support, who was processing their cash outs, would not see anything wrong.
All right, we haven't really let the audience know that
we'll get there.
Who the upper ups were at Absolute Poker that were involved in this.
The story gets way better.
The plot thickens, folks, and hang in there because it really is riveting stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to keep Serge on the line. This is a special edition of Rounders. We're covering the insider cheating scandal at Absolute Poker. More right after this.
Hey, Internet poker players, how'd you like to shake the rake? All online poker sites charge a large fee to play at their tables, but now the secret on how to get most of it back is out.
It's called RakeFreeze.com.
Simply visit RakeFreeze.com, sign up for the poker site you want to play at, and get a large percentage of the rake pay returned directly back into your poker account. Plus, you're still eligible for those lucrative sign-up bonuses. Keep more of your money and put a chill on the rake at RakeFreeze.com.
This is Rounders, the Poker Show. Once again, here's Mike and Adam.
Is this last
Eddie,
segment?
Eddie Gregory throwing in a classic there, the Tijuana Brass Casino Royale. Listen, back to the story. We're covering the insider cheating scandal at Absolute Poker, and we're at a point now where Absolute Poker has taken about 2 to 3 weeks. They're saying they're doing an internal investigation. Many people in the poker community that have investigated themselves are completely convinced that they have enough information to know unequivocally that it is a cheating scandal, as our guest Serge Ravitch explains. But Absolute Poker has the gall to come back and say, we've done an investigation and we believe that there is no wrongdoing here. So now the investigation department and the security department is involved in this, Serge. What do you think happened there? Did they actually investigate and not find anything? Did they not even investigate at all and say that they did? Or did they investigate, find something that was discovered by the upper management and cover it up?
I can tell you now that one of the primary issues with this so-called investigation was that AJ Green was in charge of the investigating.
Okay.
And who the accounts are linked back to?
Yes.
Oh, so and, he was the one in charge of the okay. And is he normally in security, or did he step in and say, you know, I'll take this one, boys. This is a serious accusation. I think I should be in charge of this one. Or is he normally in charge of these types of investigations, or do we know?
The story that Absolute is putting out at this point, which is not necessarily the full truth, is that Scott Tom, one of the chief executives of Absolute, literally left his best friend, A.J. Green, in charge of the place while he went off to Panama. And then A.J. Green, while Scott Tom was moving to Panama temporarily, used his powers for evil, so to speak.
Gotcha.
But really, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Serge. You were going to finish?
This is, again, not necessarily the whole story. Without, you know, saying anything more on live radio, let me say that I'm duly skeptical of this, but I wouldn't be able to say anything I couldn't prove in a court of law at this point.
Gotcha. So now let's go back to that file that was inadvertently sent to Crazy Marco. He did not have the ability to decipher it, so he decides to forward it on to a couple of very intelligent poker players who run poker databases and have the ability and understand what all of the gibberish that was sent to him means and how it gets tracked. Not only how they prove that it was a super user account, but how they're able to track it to the wrongdoers.
All right. So about 3 weeks into this, when Absolute was completely stonewalling, eventually it got to the point where they admitted the chip dumping and admitted the fact that something was weird and froze the accounts, but wouldn't actually do anything about it past that point. We know this now, actually, because have proof that Scott and AJ were both in full cover-up mode at this point. Regardless, on the 14th of October, about a month after this breaks, Crazy Margo gets around to forwarding the email to the right people, and my friend Nat, who is one of the...
quite a brilliant guy, obviously.
Yes. Very good programmer, co-founder of the PokerDB, just an all-around excellent guy. Takes a look at this Excel file, and the first thing is it's immediately obvious that this thing is showing everybody's hole cards. But wait, there's more. It's also got everybody's IP addresses, everybody's emails, the email address registered at Absolute of every observer to open a table. This is just the start of it, really. It's basically a nice treasure trove of information.
And so what this this file showed was that one of the persons that observed the table for the entire tournament for the key account, Pot Ripper, was user account number 363. Now, remember that at Absolute Poker and any other major site, they have many, many hundreds of thousands of accounts. So this is account number 363.
I believe the number is up to 2 million something. And, yeah, there were two people from the same IP address observing tables. One was almost certainly... one was account number 363 with the email address of Scott at some website.com. The other, we reasonably concluded, was Pot Ripper. The reason we thought so was because user 363 opened Pot Ripper's table 2 minutes into a tournament and never left for 2.5 hours. Coincidentally, Pot Ripper folded his first two hands and didn't fold another one until there was a big pair behind him 30 minutes later.
So essentially what this user account 363 was a super user account in that it could see everybody's hole cards. Remember that this...
Right. And if you now go on Absolute Poker, there will be plenty of people spamming 363 and registered with the name 363 all over the chat box.
So what he did, just to break it down for people, is he obviously went on as an observer with this account, was watching people's hold cards, but he was actually playing and winning the tournament on the separate Pot Ripper account, which was registered to a completely innocent user who had no idea that anything was going on?
Incorrect. Okay. The Pot Ripper account was AJ Green's account.
It was AJ Green's account.
Yes, it was AJ Green's personal account. We know this from extensive leaks now at Absolute, and we also have it on fairly good authority that he's got accounts at every other site with names like Fatraiser, Pot Chopper. The pattern's kind of pretty clear. So AJ Green's personal account name was Pot Ripper, and the email he was using was scott@somesite.com, which was very quickly through some very fine internet detective work on NAF's part traced to Scott Tom's basically home cable modem.
Wow. So, I mean, that's just amazing.
So now the question everybody has, obviously, is how can a super user account like this even exist in the first place? And when you look at this 363 account, is the guess that this was one of the original beta testing accounts when they were originally building the software to make sure that the pots got moved to the right person and that the random number generator was working properly when they were originally testing the software back in the inception of Absolute Poker?
I mean, that's pretty much almost what it had to be. I mean, I don't rule out any site having accounts like that for use for security. Things, for example, that you couldn't log in with it outside the security department, maybe, or maybe two people at the company even know that it exists, and then it's kept under the strictest lock and key. I could understand that part. But the fact that there's an account that exists and somebody logs into it from their house...
Right. So at the end of the day, we have two of the founders, of the website, high executives in Absolute Poker, who are attached to this cheating and thieves. But the big problem for me, Serge, is we look at any company in the world can have sort of an employee that. That does something, or maybe a programmer that builds in something so they can do something malicious. But it's really up to the company to go in and really be transparent about it, come out and not be 100% truthful. And we didn't get that in this case. We got a company that came out, albeit a lot of it was the people that were involved. But even after, we were getting a lot of conflicting information where really they should just come out if they're interested in coming clean and telling the whole story. And this seems to be a problem for them.
Well, at this point, I mean, it would take probably another hour to go through all of the details of the corporate structure. But one of the things, one of the reasons behind this, many of these sites were founded fairly straightforwardly. For example, Full Tilt was founded by a group of poker pros that knew what they wanted to do. PokerStars, again, founded by a group of very smart people that knew what they wanted to do. Absolute was founded by about a dozen members of a random Montana college fraternity.
Wow.
Bankrolled by their parents, and basically for 2 years or 3 years operated kind of just fly by night.
Now, and it should be noted that the large majority of poker sites do not allow their key employees, and some to don't allow any of their employees to actually have accounts and play on their own site. Absolute is one of the few that obviously even allows this to happen at all.
Right. I mean, outside of sponsored pros, you really wouldn't find anybody doing this. Lee Jones does not, to my knowledge, have a personal account at Stars.
Right.
For obvious reasons. Absolute apparently was the exception.
And a bit of but more on the corporate structure. When the UIGA came, the Internet Unlawful Internet Gaming Act came through, a lot of the sites structured their ownership in such a way where they're going to be able to go back and forth to the U.S. and made it, distance some of the key employees a little bit, made them consultants or what have you, or the actual ownership of the site was in somebody else's name. And in this case, in Absolute, it was in the name of the former chief of the Kanawake Gaming Reserve, which adds even more of an intrigue into this in that, all of these sites, all of these poker sites are licensed by this Kanawake Gaming Commission in Canada, and here we have a situation where a former chief of this is ownership of one of the people they license. So now they're in charge. Now, keep in mind, now whenever a problem comes up with Absolute Poker, Kanawake is supposed to be investigating them, and in this case, they'd basically be investigating themselves. And if anybody had any doubt, this is just my opinion, but if anybody had any doubt that the Kanawake Gaming Commission is a joke, I don't think we have any doubt anymore.
Well, actually, this part is really funny. Basically, those are your listeners that don't know who this guy is. Chief Norton. This is something I found out through my research and through a bunch of helpful reporters that were calling me at all hours of the day. Chief Norton, as it turns out, is a very, very wealthy man and has a lot of businesses, a lot of different things that he does, and apparently a lot of pull in the Kawanaki community. I guess you guys would know this better than me, but apparently the Kawanakis have a kind of an ambiguous relationship with the police in Quebec.
Ambiguous. I would clarify for people who aren't up on Canadian politics. What happened was, 20-30 years ago, there was an incident on the Kanawake Reserve where the Quebec government tried to build a golf course with a little bit of a sliver on their land. There was actually a war almost broke out with the RCMP, our police,
and the Mohawk Indians,
and there was barricades and shootings, and one of the natives died in the shootout, and it was a serious situation. In that, so it was to set the stage for the future of that. The Quebec government is somewhat reluctant to go ahead and flex its muscle with anything to do with Canadian law on the Kanawake Reserve,
which makes it a huge story, Serge. Now that we find out that the police in Quebec have actually launched an investigation into this whole affair, in addition to the Kanawake Gaming Commission.
Well, this actually all ties together. As you said, I guess the Quebec police are not very happy to investigate anything having to do with the Indians, but this is kind of a delicate situation. Chief Norton, as I understand it, woke up one day last week to a very unpleasant phone call and very quickly realized that everything that he built was pretty much in danger of being destroyed by two complete clowns in Costa Rica.
Right. The two executives of Absolute Poker, which, by the way, I went on to the Kanawake Gaming Commission site where it lists all of the online gambling sites that they license and that they approve of, and Absolute Poker has been pulled from that list, but Ultimate Bet, who is owned by Absolute Poker, from what I understand, is still listed as one of their approved sites.
They're both now listed as pending certification, and the major development of this scandal, of this whole thing, was that Chief Norton actually the Kawanaki Gaming Commission, for the first time in its history, actually more or less exists as an entity. They have passed some kind of regulation on their licensees. They're getting gaming associates to do an audit, and apparently they've decided to actually go ahead and work.
So they didn't do it until they basically got caught, which doesn't give them any kind of credibility in the future, nor obviously does Absolute Poker.
From my point of view, it gives them some credibility in the future simply because this type of incident, I think, from all parties involved, cannot possibly be allowed to happen again. From somebody like Chief Norton's point of view, who controls the Gaming Commission and ultimately controls a good chunk of Absolute revenue and the direction of the company, he could not afford another incident like this one, and I think that's what's going to give them teeth, at least in the near future.
All right, we got to talk about the fact that the mainstream media has really latched onto this story in the last 48 hours. The New York Times, MSNBC, ABC are all covering this story as a scandal of online gambling.
Now, fortunately, on a Friday night.
They were on a Friday.
Fortunately, on a Friday night.
Yeah, but obviously this doesn't represent really what online poker is all about. But for the average Joe that's going to see this story, obviously they're going to think that this kind of thing is rampant and ongoing. Does the fact that the mainstream media latched onto this, and you've already said that you've been constantly in contact with big time media outlets, that this obviously is taking this story to a pretty scary level?
Well, on the one hand, I mean, I did this kind of reluctantly because, no, this doesn't represent online poker as a whole. Frankly, a lot of us higher-stakes players, there have always been rumors about Absolute. None of us was really happy with them at any point, and this kind of just confirms that they were the really bad apple in this business. And I don't think you'll find a single high-stakes player or a single player well-known in the community that has a bad word to say about PokerStars, for example. Most of us play on every single site. We know their management conditions fairly intimately because we deal with five, six, occasionally seven figures at a time. And really, this is definitely not what the industry's about. I would like to make that clear. Having said that, I guess in the last week or two, I've kind of become the one of the two impromptu spokesmen for the industry, more or less by default, because nobody else was doing it. Certainly, it's kind of a lot of responsibility, but at the same time, as I said, somebody had to.
And you've certainly stepped up. Serge Ravitch is our guest. You can read all of his entries and thoughts and follow the investigative work that he did at tourags.com and 2plus2.com for that matter. And he's going to hang on for a couple of minutes here. We'll keep you through one more short break here, Serge. We want to sort of take a look at the fallout, and there's a few questions that we want to throw at you before we let you go here. So we'll take a quick break. We're going to be back with more. This is in-depth coverage of the insider cheating scandal at Absolute Poker. More right after this.
Hey, Internet poker players. How'd you like to shake the rake? All online poker sites charge a large fee to play at their tables, but now the secret on how to get most of it back is out.
It's called RakeFreeze.com.
Simply visit RakeFreeze.com, sign up for the poker site you want to play at, and get a large percentage of the rake pay returned directly back into your poker account.
Plus, you're still eligible for those lucrative sign-up bonuses. Keep more of your money and put a chill on the rake at RakeFreeze.com.
This is Rounders, the Poker Show on the Team 1040. Once again, here's Mike and Adam.
Welcome back to the program. Continuing on with our discussion about the insider cheating scandal at Absolute Poker, Serge Ravitch of tourags.com, and really one of the real insiders and investigators to uncover this. And it really should be noted that one of the big parts of this whole story is that the entire story was not only broken, investigated, and and really taken to this level by incredible detective work by, although at people that were very intelligent and knew a lot about poker database, these were everyday poker players that had nothing, a lot of the people didn't even have any of their own individual money at stake.
Yeah, and I think that bears repeating. I mean, these guys have spent a lot of their time. Remember, these are poker players whose hourly rate is very high because they play, they're the best, some of the best in the world. They play in the biggest games in the world, and they've put their lives on hold and their businesses on hold, including Serge and others and Nat and others, to investigate this, and really are the main reason that all this has come out, and I think the whole poker community owes them a debt of gratitude for sure.
Right, Serge, you don't have a specific axe to grind with Absolute. You weren't one of the players that lost thousands of dollars in this.
No, I actually hardly played on Absolute to begin with.
Amazing. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the average poker player's perception of this story, because as you know, I mean, there's millions of people who play online poker, but there are also millions of poker aficionados who don't play online poker because they are fearful of this type of thing. And when you're sitting in live brick and mortar casinos, they say, well, this is why I don't play online poker. And you're going to hear a lot of I told you so type of stories. And you're also going to hear people say, well, if it happens at Absolute, it's got to be happening all over the other sites on the internet as well. How would you respond to something like that?
Well, from my perspective, first of all, I've made quite a bit of money online. I've played online for, I think, 4 years now. I've sidetracked my career as a lawyer to play online, so you can tell that I'm quite confident that online poker is the way to go. In fact, I think I've probably witnessed more incidents of cheating live than I have online.
That's true. And let's be clear. I mean, Absolute's competitors, other online poker sites, did not want to see or are not going to really benefit in any way of seeing a cheating scandal like this happening. Even though obviously you want to have as much success as you can compared to a competitor, this is a black mark for the entire industry, not just for Absolute Poker. But, do you feel other sites are going to step up security? Are going to make some announcements to their players to convince them that this could not happen at their site?
I've already gotten thank you emails and phone calls from a couple of places that just wanted to let me know that they're appreciating what I do. Not because I'm doing anything to a competitor, but because this really needed to be brought out. This is absolutely a wake-up call to the industry. I don't think we can go on doing what we were doing and expect this to just blow over. Certainly, I'm getting the sense that internal security is beefed up almost everywhere at this point. And this will just not be allowed to happen again.
Yeah, it's really difficult. You know, like, it's hard for sites. It's hard to expect all the sites to police themselves and not have a situation like this. And it's unfortunate because this industry is so big and it just cries out for regulation. And if this doesn't prove it that it does, I don't know what will. But I guess my question, Serge, now is, okay, we've got a fairly, I mean, not the biggest site or anything by far, but
a top 10 site
who the founding members were cheating the players. Can, first of all, if everything becomes transparent now at Absolute and they do what's best for, you know, their players, do you think the site can recover?
I think the site can recover. I even think it's reasonably likely. Whether in the long term this industry can survive without regulation, which is what you just brought up, I really feel we need to take a long, hard look at exactly what is possible, what isn't possible, and what we need to do in the near future to make sure that these questions are answered. As a lawyer in the U.S., I think that this is the most urgent situation that we're facing right now.
And it really, what I see happening, and remember, a lot of these sites are driven by what's called affiliate websites that drive traffic to these sites. And a lot of affiliates, basically what happens is these sites outsource their marketing to affiliates. A lot of these affiliates, in good conscience, are going to take Absolute and UB maybe even down from their sites and stop promoting them, thereby robbing them of new players, new influx of players. So do you see that as a big problem as well?
Here's the thing. The affiliates have been remarkable, actually, about boycotting Absolute, at least after this became too big to ignore. They're not the ones that I have an issue with. I do have an issue with the print media. Places like CardPlayer are basically completely ignored until the last possible minute. Places like Poker News almost completely ignored it until the last possible minute. A lot of these places are too dependent on the industry itself to really reliably cover anything about it. And we can't really rely on the media to do this anymore. We really have to, at this point, look to an outside source. I really hate to say this because I'm the last person that would typically advocate this, but I think at this point regulation is called for.
And it is noteworthy that Adam, your rakeback site dropped Absolute as a referral.
Both Absolute and UP,
yeah, and it's and the point that Serge makes when he talks about the other poker media is that that during the last 4 or 5 weeks when this was a brewing story until Absolute actually came out and basically turned themselves in, none of these media outlets that accept advertising dollars from Absolute Poker were even covering it as a story at all, when it was the biggest thing going on all of the online poker forums, and usually those media outlets are right on top of these types of things if it were a scandal that didn't relate to a revenue source.
Yeah, and it's easy for us because we don't take advertising from the sites directly, or much of it anyway, so, you know, obviously it's not an issue for us.
Couple of things that I want to just quickly touch on before we wrap this up, Serge. Number one, obviously the thieves in this story are the two upper management folks, but how many other people at Absolute do you feel were involved in the cover-up during that 1 month where they were basically saying that there's nothing wrong here? There must have been other people at the site that, upon reviewing the tournament hand histories, that obviously spotted something, you know, and were told to hush-hush.
Well, we'll actually never know the exact number. As I said, the guy that emailed the Excel spreadsheet was fired due to essentially his incompetence because he emailed out the wrong copy of the spreadsheet but had absolutely no idea what he was looking at the time. This is what, frankly, hiring Costa Rican support staff gets you when your primary language is English. So to some degree, a bunch of these guys that were technically in on the cover-up were not actually in on the cover-up because they had no idea what they were talking about. The number of upper executives that knew, my guess is it's somewhere between two and a lot, but we will never really know.
And what do you think is the bigger crime? Is it the two guys actually stealing the money or absolute telling the public that it didn't happen when they knew all along that it did?
Absolutely the latter. And again, this is a situation where for about a month, every high-stakes player that knew anything about this, I'm guessing literally hundreds of people, knew something was up, were emailing Absolute, and were getting nothing, and were then additionally getting stonewalled by the media, by the people with something to gain from covering this up, and just a ridiculous situation. I really find it outrageous that we had to rely on a completely random support guy emailing out an Excel spreadsheet with the wrong Excel spreadsheet to get our point across.
Yeah, it really almost seems as though Absolute was hoping that the story, if they waited long enough without responding, would just get swept under the rug and chalked up as yet another crazy conspiracy theory, and if they waited and waited long enough that it would just disappear and people would stop talking about it, and that just didn't happen. But I think that was almost what they were hoping for.
That is what they were hoping for, and unfortunately, again, I hate to say this, they were remarkably close to pulling it off. In the end, we probably would have forced something to happen without that spreadsheet, but that was really the turning point.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids. Got to wrap it up here. 12,000 people are playing on Absolute Poker as we do this show. Does it shock you that while they're under the investigation of the Kahnawake Gaming Commission and the province of Quebec Police, that they are operational as we talk?
It doesn't shock me that they're operational. The good news to me is that they seem to be down, I think, about 10-15% as of right now over the same time last week. And hopefully, until they come fully clean, until the last statement contains names, facts, dates, things of this nature, that'll continue to happen. I do think that they'll recover in the long run, probably, and hopefully in a clean and mature fashion, but I really have no way of knowing.
Serge Ravitch has been our guest. He truly is one of the most knowledgeable people on this subject, as you've heard. His blog is at tworags.com. He goes by the online name Adanthar. If you want to keep up on this, I'm sure he's going to have more entries over the next couple of weeks. That is probably as good a place as any to keep up on it. Thanks so much for joining us, Serge. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Glad to be here.
All right. That's Serge Ravitch, and what an unbelievable story, and just a big news week for the online poker world.
Week,
yeah, I mean, we haven't even talked about the fact that the winner of the Poker Stars World Championship of Online Poker has been disqualified and had his $1.2 million dispersed among the other cashers of the tournament because he was found in violation of the terms and conditions. The accusation is that once again we're dealing with a situation of multi-accounting at PokerStars, and this story, is something that PokerStars has come out, kind of nipped it in the bud right away and been relatively upfront about it. But again, it's just amazing that this kind of thing can still happen.
Notice the difference. PokerStars has a problem; they deal with it, and while they're not transparent as I'd like to see, and come out and exactly explain what happened. But they did take the right course of action, and it's just a horrible week for online poker, multi-accounting problem at PokerStars as well.
Where do you rank this? I mean, we had the Z-Justin incident last year with the multi-accounting, and we've had other types of incidents like this, the UIGEA, which a lot of people thought could be the death of online poker, that people wouldn't be able to play it all anymore, and now you've got this story. Where does this, and I mean, you go back to the original Poker Spot controversy with Dutch Boyd, and some of these stories, the poker industry is not, or the online poker industry has not only survived, but thrived and grown through. Where does this one kind of fit into it all? Is it just another sort of anecdote in the poker history, or has this got potential bigger fallout?
I think with the mainstream attention it's gotten, I mean, remember that Z Justin was never on ESPN.com or ABCNews.com. You know, this just didn't get any kind of attention outside of the poker community. This seems to have, and I don't think we're, you know, we're obviously not at the end of what's going to come about with Absolute Poker in terms of how it gets resolved. And then, you know, you're going to have another round of media attention. So depending on exactly, you know, how this goes, and there's all kinds of ways it could end, but, you know, it's hard to say at this point. My gut tells me this is probably this along with the Internet Gaming Act are sort of pretty close, maybe.
So the statement on Serge's blog, on his most recent post, saying, quote, "Even though this has been a dark time for online poker, I feel that this will make the game a better, safer place going forward." Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think it's now in the interest of a lot of the sites to come out and do an independent audit with somebody who's respected and say, hey, here, come into our office. The door's open. I want you to go through everything here and give us a clean bill of health. And the sites that do that are going to benefit the most, in my opinion, from this and move forward and gain more traffic. I'm going to be much happier to play at a site that does that submits themselves to an independent audit, you know, than I would to go play at Absolute again. Personally, I'm never going to go play there again, and I wouldn't suggest anybody does.
All right, we got about 1 minute left here. We got to explain what's happening to people. This is our last night live on Sunday nights in Vancouver on the team1040.ca. For those of you who listen to the podcast format of our show, it's business as usual every week. You'll get your automatic downloads of the show. For those of you who only listen live, and if you've not discovered the podcasting world, this is what you do. It does not cost you a cent. It doesn't cost a penny to do this. Go to Adam's website, bigpoker.ca. You can sign up for the podcast there. And
you can download it live. You don't even have to podcast.
You can
click
download
on
the show
live,
right, yeah, on the site and listen to it live there at your leisure, any time of day, 24/7, or through sites like iTunes. You can register, sign up, and it will automatically be sent to your computer every single week as soon as the show is uploaded, which is usually on the Monday or Tuesday of that week. This show is going to continue to happen every week. I believe for the immediate future, Team 1040 is still going to be posting it on the team1040.ca in the podcasting segment of the website, which is very easy to find. But for the live Sunday night audience, got to get yourself some computers.
It's been a great 2.5 years.
It has been terrific. We've had world champions, hundreds of guests, 3 years worth of terrific shows. And send us some emails as well. adam@bigpoker.ca. You know, tell us some of your favorite moments over the last 2 or 3 years. And if you have any questions about how you can continue to get the show each and every week, just drop us a line at adam@bigpoker.ca. And by the way, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some announcements of some even bigger and better things that are pretty exciting up and coming with the show. And you'll still see us occasionally on TV. And of course, you'll see us live at the poker rooms around the world. So,
yeah, definitely.
Good stuff. Thanks so much to Eddie Gregory and Brad Challoner and, Jared Harmon, a million of them that have helped us. Paul Carson, who's been a supporter of this program every step of the way and really has brought the game of poker to the Team 1040 over
and
the
Vancouver,
last 3 years.
He's done a great job with
absolutely. So thanks so much to Paul for that. We got to wrap it up. Have a great week at the tables. We're going to come back with better news next week, I promise you. For Adam Schwartz, I'm Mike Johnson. We'll talk to you next time.
So don't come up to me and say you're like it. It's better you say you hate it. That's the truth exactly. We go out dancing, I don't wanna be bothered, just want to be bothered with real love. And so I heard it's no good to run, but it feels so much better now that it's done. And tonight I have to leave it.
things on paper. And rumors said that you're very sorry. Oh no, you're not sorry. No, you're not. And so I heard it's no good you run, but it feels so much better now that it's done. And tonight I have to leave it. Yes, tonight I have to leave it. Yes, tonight I have to leave it. Yes, tonight I have to. Yes, tonight I have to leave it. Give love. Give love. Won't you give love? Give love. Don't you give love?